631-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300. Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our Bible lesson, Biblical Worldview of Israel. And got a text message, Pastor Chatfield, during the break. Says, do you think Donald Trump's trip that he made to the Middle East, where he went to Saudi Arabia and Qatar and the UAE and all those other places prior to Israel's strike, do you think it was a way for Donald Trump to tell the Middle East countries that he supports Israel? He wants them to understand the relationship. He loves them. He loves them investing all these, you know, billions and trillions of dollars in the United States economy, but also wants them to understand his loyalty to Israel and being able to understand what he may have to do in the event that he decides to use those bunker buster bombs. Do you think this was all kind of an orchestrated, planned out thing, in your opinion? Of course, you don't know, but what's your opinion?
My guess would be yes. Again, I don't think, I'm convinced of this, that the especially Saudi Arabia and Egypt, they're no fan of Iran. Iran is the biggest stirrer up of trouble in the Middle East, maybe one of the biggest stirrers of trouble in the world. And when the Ayatollah in Iran is thinking about annihilating the infidels, that would include the Sunni Muslims also. Yes, they're not friends with each other because they have a different sect and different religion.
So you're equating the Sunni Arabs almost on par with the Israeli Jews and the United States, well, the Americans.
I wouldn't go that far. Saying, yeah, because it's not like the Saudi Arabians love Israel, no. But they view Iran as a greater threat to them than they do Israel. There is something going on here, Revelation chapter 12. Somehow, for some reason, I believe this, and you can argue all day long, that people that hate the Jewish people, it's unreasonable hate. Why would you hate them? I mean, hate in of itself, you know, is kind of a dark thing. Why would you hate anybody? But why would you hate the Jews? Why? Because we have learned this, that when Jesus said in John chapter 4, salvation is of the Jews. And in Revelation chapter 12, the Bible says that the dragon persecuted the woman. The woman is, I believe, Israel. The dragon is the devil. The devil hates the nation of Israel because it produced the Christ, Jesus Christ, who is Jew. We worship a Jew, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're Christian. We're Gentile Christians. And our first alliance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're also Americans. Yeah, that makes it tricky. Yeah, we're Americans. And we don't want to get involved in every war across the globe. But this is kind of a special deal. Beyond the fact, Iran is a threat to us, too. They're not just a threat to Israel. So, well, it's not our war. Let them go. As if, excuse me, sir, and a lot of people I read say things like that. I can mention their name, but I won't. Excuse me, sir. If there was an all-out war against Israel, and Israel was completely destroyed, and the world, the Middle East, was dominated by Iran, do you think that would be good for our national interests? I trow not. No, it would not be good. So it isn't, you can make an argument anyway, that it is in our national interest that we take care of, remove the threat, which is Iran. I don't know what the president should do. I wish a few more people would pray for him and quit telling him, oh, we should do this or that, because let's pray for him, because this is a hard decision to make. Let me, see, there's, we I am what we call a premillennialist, a literalist, There's other people that think, or just that are called amillennialists. They don't take the Bible literally. They don't take the thousand-year reign of Christ literally, and they don't take. They just don't take the Book of Revelation literally the way I do. They don't take the prophecies literally. I do. And the rule of thumb, it's called hermeneutics, our rule of interpretation. We're literalists. We read the Bible, and if the plain sense makes sense, then look for no other sense. That's kind of a rule. That's how we read the Bible. Let me read you this prophecy of the dry bones. I think it's Israel. Just tell you that. Here's the from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and I carried me out into the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them about. And behold, there was very many in the open field, and lo, they were very dry. This, I believe, is a picture of Israel before they were restored to the land. The Jews were scattered all over the world, dry bones all over the world. That's called the dispersion. It started in 722 BC, continued in 586 BC, and went on and on and on throughout 2,000 years. Okay. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Let me say this. When those bones came together again from all over the world, it's a miracle. Who ever heard of a country that had not existed for 2,000 years as an independent nation regathering and coming back and becoming a nation again? That's almost back up. It is unheard of in human history for something like that to live. Again, I'm reading Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. So they became a nation again. Now watch this. But there was no breath in them. What does that mean? Yes, there's a nation of Israel. Yes, bone upon bone, they've come back together, their skin. But there's no life in them yet. Why? Because they haven't accepted their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. They will someday, when Jesus Christ comes back, the nation of Israel look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him, the Bible says in Zechariah. When Jesus Christ comes back, the New Testament says, Paul writes, and so all Israel shall be saved. They're going to come to Christ someday. We, right now, they're not, though. They're not. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there's no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet in exceeding great army. Now, often in the Bible, the word in the Greek for wind is pneumas, same word for Holy Spirit. When God moves upon this nation, they're going to come to Christ, and they'll say, this was the Messiah that we rejected 2,000 years ago. He was the Messiah. That, I believe, is going to happen in the future. When? Who can tell? But in the future. Now, that means that Israel, by and large, is still in a state of unbelief. Yes, we support them, but they're not the same as them. Our faith is in the Messiah that they rejected, that they put on a cross, along with the Romans, that's true, but they rejected the Messiah. Now, God's going to have mercy on them. By the way, here the Apostle Paul in Romans, the New Testament, says this in Romans chapter 9. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, for my kinsmen according to the flesh. See, Paul was praying for his people to be saved. Again, Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, to all those people that believe in this replacement theology, who do you think Paul was talking about? He wants Israel to be saved. If Israel were the church, you wouldn't pray for the church to be saved. We're already saved, the true believers in Jesus Christ. You can obviously see, you can't read Romans 9, 10, 11 and come away with replacement theology. See, it's impossible. I don't see how you can read the Bible and take it at face value and come away with that. I don't see how you can read the Bible and not be friendly to the nation of Israel. The Bible says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. I mean, we love God, we love his children. We love the nation, the chosen nation that God chose. That is, the still is the chosen nation, in my view. I have no reason to say, oh, no, that's all Old Testament, it's all passed away. You don't get that with a plain reading of the Bible. You've got to really, really, really stretch things to believe a notion like that. So that's why Christians are the biggest supporters for the nation of Israel in this country. Christians love Israel, by and large, not almost 100%. And so, and I do.
Well, why do we then see so much of this anti-Semitism on college campuses, and why do the parents allow the kids to go to those schools, tolerate that behavior, allow their own kids to participate in those rallies, those protest rallies, demonstrations against Israel in support of Palestine? Why are we allowing our kids to do that?
Well, the vast, vast majority of those people are not Christians at all. They don't believe the Bible. They're not believing the Bible. Okay. Well, why do the parents send their kids to those nations? Because they're not Christians. They've never been born again. They don't see it. They're believing the lie. There's so much disinformation out there. It doesn't take a genius to see it. The other side, I mean, think of the October 7th thing. They come in there and slaughtered all those people. You'd think that the world would say, whoa, Hamas is not good. Nope. You have apologists for Hamas, even in our country.
Final segment of our conversation with Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back. Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I've literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of My Pure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
A book by Rick Randall, Road Trip, the Good Words book for success. Good words that both young and old alike need to add to their vocabulary to impact their thoughts, emotions, behavior, and ultimately their reality in life. Road Trip's Good Words, Positive Thinking, and Daily Pep Talk will improve your attitude, impress everyone you come in contact with, and lead to a better, happier, more fulfilling life. Get your copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Pass the positive. Road Trip, the Good Words book by Rick Randall.
Are you one of the many people that have always wanted to give to your favorite charity or non-for-profit such as your church, school, or local community, but believe that it's way out of your budget, a goal that you've always wanted to fulfill? Let me show you some strategies that would benefit you and your favorite charity. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890. Serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of our Bible lesson, our historical discussion with Pastor Chatfield today. Sir, go ahead and wrap up your final thoughts on this topic.
Okay, Revelation chapter 21. This is after the thousand-year reign of Christ. This is a description of the New Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 21, last book of the Bible, verse 12 and 13. And he had a great wall and high. It had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Pastor Jeff, what do you think that means? There are 12 tribes in Israel. The New Jerusalem is going to have their name on it. Okay, verse 13 of Revelation 21. And on the east, 3 gates, and on the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So there's a combination. You got these walls and these gates and these foundations. You have the 12 apostles' names, which was like the church. And then you have the 12 tribes of Israel. When we get to heaven, when everything is said and done, we'll see the relationship between the church and Israel. Again, I'm convinced of this. Israel is not the church, and the church is not Israel. We got to view those separate in Scripture, in the prophecies. View them separate. Now, someday, we'll have a better grasp of things, and in all the eternity, God's chosen people, Israel, 12 tribes, their faith will be in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that's Jesus, the great Messiah. By and large, they have rejected him to this day. I was in Israel, as you know, a few months ago, and tried to hand a tract to somebody, a Jew, and I handed him a tract, and it says, there's a picture of a cross on it, a gospel tract, and it says, God loves you. And he looks at me and says, I don't need that. I'm a Jew. I don't need that. I'm a Jew. You think that by being born Jewish, that makes you saved? It does not. I'm not saying the Jewish people are saved. They got to be born again. Who did Jesus say you must be born again to? He said to Nicodemus, who is a Jew, a leader of the Jews. Everybody has to be born again. So I'm not saying that everybody born in Israel, they're all saved. No, not saying that. They got to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ upon hearing the gospel like anybody else. But they are, as a nation, the chosen nation. Now, we Americans have been singularly blessed, and we have helped Israel. I think that God has sustained us so we can help sustain Israel. Does that mean that President Trump should jump into this war? I don't know. How about simply this? Pray for President Trump that he'd do the right thing, which is a difficult decision. There, I tried to present both sides to this because I know some of your listeners are on one side and some are on the other. But I say, let's pray for the president, and what decision he makes, let's trust that judgment. Okay.
Well, I say pray for the president as well, but I believe that God has put Donald Trump in this position because how many presidents before him, going way back, I mean, I'm talking Ronald Reagan, remember, you know, the 444 days hostages situation in Iran in 1979, and Reagan saying, you know, when I get sworn in, those hostages will be released, or I'm going to do some severe damage to Iran. Here's the point. So many presidents have said, Iran cannot get a nuclear bomb. What did they do about it? Answer, nothing. This is the perfect opportunity that Israel started this war, and as their ally, they don't have the technology to drop a 30,000-pound bunker buster bomb on that mountain enrichment buried deep down in the Earth's core. They don't have the technology, the weaponry, to get rid of that thing once and for all and completely annihilate their nuclear program. I think God spared President Trump at Butler, Pennsylvania, putting him in the position to be our commander-in-chief with Pete Hegseth as his Secretary of Defense right now for this single purpose. Get in position, be prepared to knock down ballistic missiles as they start firing at our ships when they realize that we just used that bunker buster. It was the United States. It wasn't Israel. It was Donald Trump and our United States Air Force. And when they see it and feel it, they're going to start firing at our ships out there, and they're going to shoot them down and exhaust their nuclear missiles program once and for all, and the Iranian people will, through God's prayers being answered, they will step up and take over and throw out this regime. I think this is the moment in time, Pastor Chatfield, it's got to happen. Final thoughts.
You might be right. Father, I ask for your hand of blessing and wisdom to President Trump as he makes this decision on what to do. We pray for him, and we will support him in this decision. Blessed, may your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. By the way, remember, I'm not going to be at church Sunday. I'm in Georgia right now. Actually, I'm preaching in kind of different states. So praise the Lord.
And
Brother,
you're passing out tracks there as well.
Oh, yes, always. Yeah. Brother Larry Whitten, next two Sundays we'll be preaching at church.
Okay, very good. Who's going to be preaching for you?
Larry Whitty, Brother Larry, a former pastor at Sioux Community Baptist, Bible Baptist Church in Sioux St. Marie. He goes to our church now. Amen. Look forward to it.
Thank you. Safe travels out there, sir. God bless.
Yes. Very good.
Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The gun doctor is a certified